You're listening to New Soundwave with your hosts, John DeLuna, J.D. Church, Rob Springer, Chris Triplett, and Brian Kilby.
Hey, everybody, you're listening to New Soundwave, episode 41?
Yes, 41.
Yeah, man, awesome.
It's middle age.
Oh, man, feels so good.
About time to buy a Corvette.
That's already. What I was going to say.
Hey, everybody, anyway, I am your host, John DeLuna. With me this week, Rob Springer, XV, Peter, a.k.a. Bweebum.
Lots of K's in there.
Yeah. Yes.
Wait.
Two K's,
did you
not
say
three K's.
Peter, a.k.k.k. Bweebum?
No,
because I think
it's AKKA Bweebum. It's like a strange German ripoff of ABBA. It's like AKA.
JD Church and Brian Kill. Hello, everybody. How's everybody doing?
Pretty awesome.
Nice.
Fantastic.
Hey! I gave up caffeine mostly.
What?
Yes. What? My heart rate's actually literally dropped on average like 5 beats per minute. It's kind of great.
Everybody say hello to a less fun Brian.
Oh.
I know, you're going to be completely useless now without your caffeine.
I know.
Was your caffeine intake always exclusively from soda?
Oh, God, no. From pills, coffee, wherever.
Oh, that's right. You used to take pills.
That's right.
It's a lot of caffeine pills. Sorry about that. Remember that.
He'd like crush up caffeine pills and snort them in the morning.
Yeah. I remember
withdrawals.
Yeah.
I remember you coming to the bar with us, one BotCon, and we were all drinking. You're like, I'm going to get jacked up on caffeine. You're like chewing the caffeine gum and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Oh my God.
I remember during BotCon.
I got to find some of this stuff.
Oh, it's great.
I told the people who served you with a scowl that, we needed more coffee. And then I'll be like, hey, Brian, you want some coffee this morning? And you're like, no, I'm good. I just popped like 3 caffeine pills. I'm good.
Yeah.
Like, oh, this can't be good.
So once again, if you couldn't tell, this is the video game podcast of record, clearly. And what we like to do every week is burn through a bunch of news, like get you caught up in like 5 minutes and then talk about something awesome for 20 minutes.
Awesome.
So let's get started.
It'll actually work out that way.
We can only hope it works out.
It's my fault. I don't mean to throw that in
there. First of all, lots of releases coming up. Just take a quick look. Metroid Other M, which we'll talk about in a minute. Ooh. Samurai Warriors 3, Wii Party, Kirby's Epic Yarn is out.
Really? I want that.
October 17th.
No, not yet. It's out in October. Let's see what's coming out in September. A new Carnival Games. if you're a fan of games, but I don't know. I guarantee you Carnival Games will be like a top 5 seller this year.
If it comes with funnel cake or something, maybe, but otherwise, no.
They do incredibly well for some reason.
Yeah, those party games do crazy. And they're all awful. God awful. Let's see what else is coming out. That's about it. That's the big ones, really. Every week, we'll bring some, relevant releases to you. But, so far, the biggest one, I guess, coming up in, the next few weeks is, Metroid Other M, uh-huh. Samurai Warriors 3, and Carnival Games, if you like stuff that sucks.
I'm hearing good things about Metroid Other M. I'm actually starting to get really interested. I wasn't a huge fan of Metroid Prime, so this seems to sort of redeem Metroid, I mean, to me, a little bit. Not that they were bad games, but they just, to me, weren't what Metroid is.
Well, the trailers that came out this week, I think, really helped it. Because one trailer basically recaps the story leading up to Metroid Other M, basically taking you through the first few games of Metroid. And then the second trailer really focuses on Metroid Other M's gameplay. And I think it's helped really get people's heads around what this game's going to be.
And we should just slip in there for DS, Professor Layton and the Unwound Future. Professor Layton is actually a pretty sweet puzzle type game, so I don't know. I've played it, and it's pretty interesting.
Puzzle games on DS are pretty fun, actually.
Yeah, the Professor Layton series is actually really good.
Yeah. Did they still do Brain Ages, or did they stop at like 2 or 3?
They're doing the download
two.
Brain Age 3D. I'm just kidding.
Someday. Speaking of trailers, Epic Mickey. Yes. It's not exactly a trailer. It's like the opening movie of the game that came out, but you can treat it as a trailer. Pretty cool. It's basically what we've heard as far as the plot goes, just animated. Did anybody catch this trailer?
Not yet.
I watched it.
Cool looking, but it doesn't really tell me anything about, you know, like how the game will be.
I've been studying this game. The game will be awesome.
It seems pretty freaking sweet.
It's crazy.
I've been reading it since like Game Informer talked about it when it first started, and I've been following it here and there, and then I watched this, and it seems pretty cool. Like, it's a new type of gameplay mechanic, you know, and it revisits all the old Disney characters and stuff like that. So that, I think it'll be pretty, it'll be nostalgic for huge Disney fans, and at the same time, it'll be just a really fun game because it's something new.
Absolutely. And I think what's even, I guess another good thing that's good about it is it's not Kingdom Hearts. I think these days, or at least up until Epic Mickey, when anybody thought of like a Disney related platform game, it was always Kingdom Hearts. It was Kingdom Hearts this and that. This is clearly something different. It's clearly, you know, Mickey Mouse is the star, Disney's the star, and it really is very different. Portal 2. Some news here. It hits stores next November 2011. We had heard it was going to be delayed until 2011, but now we have a specific date. And if you're a fan of Portal, which most people who play it really are,
I'm not smart enough for Portal.
It'll be out pretty soon, pretty early in 2011.
Yeah, I'm afraid I'm not smart enough for Portal either.
Yeah.
It's a pretty good, you know, it's a pretty engaging game. It is, like, tough to get into, I think. Did any of you guys get into Half-Life 2?
I got really into the demo of Half-Life 2, and I'm not much farther than that.
Well, it came with Orange Box, is that correct?
Yeah. Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Is it available on the live Xbox Live Marketplace or anything like that?
Yes, it is. It is.
Okay.
Go down to Target with $20.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Yeah. Maybe I'll grab
it.
I've got it. I mean, it's totally awesome. I just need to play more than... I need to do more than run around with the gravity gun. That's like the best part of the whole game.
Although Portal was just it was a proof of concept game, right? I mean, that then they people loved it so much that they decided to give it a brand new game for Portal 2, right?
It's not a long game, so that's entirely reasonable. That's probably true. I don't know enough about the backstory.
I thought it was developed by a couple of like college guys, but no, I don't know if it was a proof of concept, but I thought it was just something that they had developed like independently, and then Valve ended up picking it up and hiring the guys or something like that.
That's also totally possible.
That's possible, and there's no way of proving
anything. You know, one Christmas morning, they might have woke up, and the game was like laying there on their table. I mean
we could look at Wikipedia, but the TF Radio Network is notorious for not doing research, so we'll just say it's one of those options and go.
Yes, that's right. At some point, somebody made it for some reason.
In fact, we'll go edit the Wikipedia entry to agree with what we just said.
Someone should do that.
We'll just delete the whole page and say it could possibly happen.
Done. You know, I completely ignored that for BioShock. It's like Portal, yeah, BioShock. And now they're like, hey, Portal 2, you know what? BioShock 3.
Although they announced BioShock Infinite.
Yeah, that's BioShock 3.
I guess some people call that BioShock 2, I guess, like the real, like completely different BioShock.
Right. When is a sequel completely different?
Do I know?
BioShock 1 was done by Irrational Games. BioShock 2 was done by Radical, right?
Mm-hmm.
And then BioShock 3, or BioShock Infinite, is what Irrational was working on right after BioShock.
So it's kind of like the, it's kind of like, what is it, that game you're into. Aren't you into Medal of, not Medal of Honor, God, what is it?
Metal Gear Solid?
No, never mind.
Modern warfare. Combat?
Yeah. Like Modern Warfare and all that. Those games, they cycle through developers between games.
They flop back and forth between Infinity Ward and Treyarch. Although you don't know what happens after this Treyarch game. But
now, that's purely logistical, right? That's just because of the timing. That's why they do that.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. But I think that's pretty much the reason why they did BioShock 2 like that, because BioShock was literally just a follow-up to BioShock, right?
Yeah,
everything.
Kind of, it's more or less.
Continuation of BioShock 1, so.
Which is funny, because everyone bought BioShock thinking it was going to be System Shock 2. And it kind of was.
It's like System Shock 2 meets Ayn Rand.
I mean, it's the same developer, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
It's pretty much the same game, except, whoa, this is awesome.
Hey, who's into WoW here, people? And who has $80 to spend?
Hey!
You don't have $80 to spend. You know
that. He works. He totally has $80 to spend.
Sure.
No, he just bought a house. He doesn't have $80 to spend.
I don't know. I'm pretty stupid. I'm
bad. Especially when it comes with World of Warcraft.
Yeah. I'm pretty dumb.
WoW Cataclysm is going to be $80 if you want the super awesome collector's edition, or as we like to call it, the JD edition.
So what makes it the JD edition?
Well, you know, you got to have the honestly, this is very similar to the
Does it come with a USB dog tag?
It does not come with the USB dog tag, but it does have trading cards. It comes with, because there's a WoW trading card game. The mouse pad. It comes with, this is a lot of the stuff that's similar to any of the special editions that they release. They'll typically have, like, the art books as well as the DVDs, the behind the scenes stuff, which are, of course, all available on YouTube. But the important thing is that you get an in-game pet. That's the most important thing. That's really what you're spending your money on. You got to have that exclusive in-game pet.
Are you serious?
Dude, I am not kidding. Like, people go nuts for this in-game pet. Well, the way WoW, one of the mechanics for WoW is that you have a pet. So you can have a small creature that doesn't do any damage, it doesn't attack anything. All it does is follow you around.
It's like a familiar?
Yeah, I mean, kind of, but I mean, you can't tell it to do anything. You can't really make it do anything. unless it's automatic. So, some of the pets will do things automatically. So, for example, there's one pet you can get in game that will kill other pets.
I just have an Nikita.
Why wouldn't everybody get that pet?
I had Nikita that did that, and we had to send it to the pound.
No, because
I do that with my Tamagotchi. Just kind of get out of Tamagotchis.
Well, there's a lot of people that do have that pet, but you can only get it once a year during one of the holidays, and you have to do a bunch of quests and stuff to get it. So that's why.
So during a time of joy, you get a killer pet.
Yeah, it's called Children's Week. It's one of the events in game.
To reward you for paying the privilege to buy this game every month, we might let you get something extra.
There's even pets that, like, you can use real world money to buy. Like, there's some pets that you actually have to pay like $20. Like, a buddy of mine did that. Like, it's a little like Kung Fu Panda from in game, and he paid like $20 for it.
We're starting up RFC pets.
God,
so, there you go. But
we will sell you this JPEG.
But you get the mini Deathwing pet in game as well. So that's the whole reason I bought the collector's edition for StarCraft 2, so I can have the Thor mini pet.
Ah, speaking of.
Yes. So I'll real quickly mention a few weeks ago that I started to play StarCraft 2, and I said I'd come back and give some of my impressions. So I finished the single player. I mean, the single player is really awesome, and the way it's set up, and I kind of mentioned this before, you have, like, tech trees that you can train up as you're playing through the game. So as you move through the story, you will do missions, you get money, you can use the money to buy upgrades for your equipment. You also get artifact items, and by getting those, you can train up and choose between one of two options as you climb two particular tech trees, and that unlocks stuff in the game. The end result is it makes the story mode go faster, because the more upgrades that you have, the more capable you are when it actually comes to the mission playthrough. So it does help that out. Now, I will say that it did, by the time I got, I didn't feel it as I was playing through the game. But when I got done, I sort of felt like I only played a third of the game. Because typically the way StarCraft like 1 and both and Brood War expansion are set up is you have a story for the Terrans, a story for the Protoss, and a story for the Zerg. Well, this was just the Terrans. So I feel like I only got a third of a game. So I'll be interested to see from, yeah, because that's exactly what I did. So we don't really know yet what's going to happen with the other two expansions, whether it's going to be like expansions and there's going to be like another $100 collector's edition, in which if that's the case, I'm going to hatchet my own balls off because that's just crazy.
And that'll be on the after show.
Yeah, that'll be on the after show. But hopefully it'll just be like $10 or $20 DLC for the other two expansions, and then I won't bother with doing the big collector's edition, which I don't know that I'll do that anyway. But I did finally get to play a 1v1. I played a couple of games last night with a buddy of mine, and got to play as Zerg, because it's really the only way to play as Zerg. Because you don't play them in the story mode or in the regular game. Man, awesome. Zerg are amazing now. So there's a lot of cool stuff. I mean, the long story short is they've changed a lot of things. I don't know how the fixes and balances are. It feels balanced, at least from the couple of games I played last night. But, man, if you played Zerg before and you like them a lot, get ready for a wild ride playing them in StarCraft 2, because they're off the hook. The best example is that in the original game, in order to build troops for the Zerg, you had to have hives or colonies, and they would make these little larvae, and it'd be three per building. And in the new game, the way they've done it, you can have a queen, and the queen can cause the buildings to spawn even more larvae. So with two buildings, I did as much or more than it would have taken to have four buildings in the previous game. So it's just more efficient. So anyway, good stuff.
Awesome.
Fantastic.
My heart's racing right now. It's like, wow.
Probably like the caffeine pills.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So basically what you're telling us is Blizzard's changing their name to ARG because they're a bunch of pirates.
Well, I'm reserving judgment as far as until I know what they're doing with the other two.
Want the rest of your game, kid?
Well, and that's what I'm saying.
Holding
it's like
hostage.
I mean, it could be that if you've already paid for it, you'll just get it when it comes out. That's not likely, but that's certainly a possibility. it could be that it's, yeah, like I said, it'll be a $10 or $20 deal, you know, deal that you can download and you won't have to, you know, buy the other box. That's a good possibility, and that's what I'm sort of expecting. The other possibility is that it will be a complete retail release and you'll have to pay full price for the other two versions. And if they do that, I'm going to be really ticked off and still buy them. But I'll be really mad when I do that.
I'm going for the latter part, man.
You really think so? I don't think so. I don't see that happening, but
I think it's going to be a Halo ODST kind of thing. I think they're going to find a way. Originally, it's going to be an expansion, but then they're going to find something that they're going to add on, maybe give you some new things of this and that, and then they're going to release it as a brand new game.
I don't see how they would have the leg to do that because of the way the game is set up. But, you know, who knows?
I'm expecting Blizzard any day to come out with World of Warcraft redo or classics edition upgrade kit where you go pay for this expansion pack that starts you all the way back at the beginning of the game. And it will sell well.
Yeah,
it'll be like, but with this expansion pack, you can find items you didn't find the first time. Oh.
They should totally do a 3D version.
Yeah, because that's...
Or like Super HD or Turbo. Wow,
Turbo. That'd be awesome.
Championship edition. Awesome.
And you can make the you can speed up the game depending on how many stars you put on the game.
But
yeah, to the point where it's unplayable.
For the sake of the 3D game, they'll put that real name thing back in, because people are like, dude, this is 3D. Oh, they're all dudes.
Well, hey, JD, thank you, sir. When you get the rest of the game, come back and do
it. Yeah, as soon as we know what's going to happen with the expansion.
Too.
Yeah. Yeah.
Going to come by at least twice more.
Yeah. We're going to get this reviewed two more times.
Yeah, yes.
Okay, some other quick hits real quick. John Mellencamp, Google this, folks. John Mellencamp thinks the internet is crazy bad for us, and it's analogous to the atomic bomb. Seriously, look it up.
Mass Effect 2.
Wow.
Yeah.
Did he say it, John?
Google John Mellencamp and the internet, and you'll thank us later. Mass Effect 2 is finally hitting the PS3 at the end of January. Hooray. The Force Unleashed 3 may be canceled, which is kind of shocking. But when you consider LucasArts has gotten a new president and he's kind of putting his foot down and marking his territory, I guess from a corporate standpoint, it makes some sense. From a fan standpoint and possibly a financial standpoint, it does not. Because I can't imagine the Force Unleashed games don't sell very well. I mean, they have to sell solidly just to get some
Star
name value.
Wars.
Is Star Wars the cash cow that it's always been? I'm seriously asking. I'm not trying to sound insightful.
It's a cash cow, but it's got to be like an easy hit every time.
Yeah, I mean, they're not going to make billions of dollars, but they're going to make millions of dollars. That's got to be an assumption that's pretty safe to make.
So he's marking his territory, meaning he's pissing on every Star Wars fan.
Like, awesome.
One by one.
Right. You guys already smell like it.
He's also, well, it's rumored that he also may be canceling all the stuff that's being worked on by outside studios for LucasArts, which would include all the Lego games for one.
Bummer.
So I don't know what his strategy is, but
to run LucasArts into the ground.
Yeah.
That sounds like a pretty crazy rumor.
Have any of you guys, like, played the Lego games, the modern Lego games?
No, I really haven't.
I haven't, but it's another one of those things where it has to sell well, right? With the kids?
Yeah, I played Indiana Jones because it came for free with my Xbox. And it was rather enjoyable. It was extremely buggy, but...
I love them, but I admit after the first one, I wait till they go to $20 because give it a month.
It's not worth the Xbox. It's going $20. Not worth the $50 or $60 that you would purchase it in full retail. It's not.
But it's a good play for
giggles.
You can come back to it and play. I mean, it's a good game. It's got a lot of replay value, but after a while, the same formula does get a little stale.
Yeah. Yeah. You can only take so many minifigs here.
I don't think I could take. I mean, I played the Star Wars version, the Star Wars Lego, and that was pretty cool. And I played the Indiana Jones, but after that, I really have no desire anymore because it's like, I'm gonna build this, I'm gonna climb that, I'm gonna do that. Pretty much, there's nothing new to it.
That's the, problem. It's like the Star Wars ones, great, perfect. Indiana Jones.
I didn't know Indiana Jones could build stuff.
Exactly. Yeah, Batman, cool idea of the niche factor, same thing. Hey, the Joker's got the Force?
Right.
Yeah, I mean, I played the Lego Batman. I played the Lego Star Wars original trilogy version, and basically it's the same thing, but in one you can throw a batarang.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The Star Wars, it seems to be the better fit for it, although I got to admit the Harry Potter one might be a pretty good fit for the whole Lego gameplay, just because of the way that's set up.
Yeah, that would
be true. Magic and all that, yeah.
Yeah.
It's magical. Yep.
Yeah. Magic. Hey, Brian.
Yes.
Get your fight pants on.
Uh-oh.
Because two more members of the Marvel vs. Capcom 3 cast have been unveiled.
Oh, awesome.
Yes. One is Beautiful Joe, and the other is Dormammu.
Dormammu? Oh, okay.
I don't know Dormammu. I know Beautiful Joe, but I don't know Dormammu. Can somebody educate me on this subject?
He's like evil and devil-y. I mean,
he's kind of like the Fallen, where his head is on fire all the time.
Yeah,
but he might actually be a threat.
But he's like Doctor Strange's, like, archenemy. I mean, you know, I mean, he's Dormammu.
He's basically, yeah, and he kind of looks like, I guess Ghost Rider, in as much as he's got like a flaming face.
I never would have even thought about Dormammu. That's odd. That's strange, but not bad, but strange.
Now, does Dormammu have like a specific, does he have anything like in the comics resembling like a move set or a type of power?
Hyrukin. What the hell?
No.
See, like, or is this like just, who knows? Like, nobody has any
idea. He's magic. He's magic based, so it could be like anything.
I think the Game Informer opinion piece is probably spot on for me. I mean, I know I've never actually played Beautiful Joe. I've always wanted to play it, but
it's a pretty game.
I heard it's a great game, so maybe I'll check it on Xbox Live or something like that. Sure. But he says here, he's a Marvel Comics fan, which I am, and he reads Marvel Comics every week, but he has the very vague idea of who Dormammu is. And they're saying that he's quite obscure. And it's like putting an F character from Marvel Universe in the game. Be like, everybody knows who this guy is. But
yeah, the only like exposure I've had to him was from Superhero Squad. So I know like the super deformed version of Dormammu. I don't know like the badass 64 hit combo Dormammu, which will probably pop up here.
Yeah, we'll see.
They have a good artwork on the link that I have.
Yes, and there's good screenshots of him. I think looking at the screenshots, he'll be obviously fire based, and I imagine like all his special moves are going to be basically flames. Basically,
they're going to be fireballs, like just Hadoukens the whole way through
for days. Yeah. Fireballs for days.
Sonic Boom. Okay, what the hell?
Hey, Brian, are you still excited for this game?
Mostly, yeah.
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 Were you into Marvel vs. Capcom 2?
Yes, I played it. Never actually played the arcade version, I don't think. That was on, Stella Hardware? But mm-hmm. I never actually saw one. I really liked, while I never was super into it like Triplett was, my favorite was probably the arcade was X-Men versus Street Fighter. On the home, it's like Marvel superhero. Oh, what is it? Marvel superheroes versus Street Fighter. But I thought that Marvel versus Capcom 2 probably had the best selection of characters, and it obviously I think looked the best with the 3D backgrounds and such. But I just didn't like the four. I just didn't like the four button layout. That just never worked for me. I like six buttons.
Bob, were you going to say something?
Huh?
Insight, people. Insight from Rob Springer. Okay, before we get to our discussion topic, Xbox Live.
We haven't had a discussion topic yet?
We do. We have it real quick. Actually, you know what? Let's jump to the discussion topic because I think it's a good one.
Yeah, okay.
Two or 3 weeks ago, we talked about how much Brian had spent on various things in his video game life, with the implication being basically, what
Brian's
are the things
stupid?
That overspent
I'm stupid.
On?
Yeah.
So let's go the other direction. So I want to talk about like where and how we have found like bargains in our lives as far as like collecting video games or buying new video games. Like, what are the tricks of the trade that we've come to know, and what are some of like the awesome finds for cheap that we've had over the years?
I've mentioned this before, but I don't think anyone's going to top it. Tron, the arcade cabinet, $5.
What? Nice.
Yes, I don't think anyone's going to top that.
So is it working when you got it? I take it not.
It powers up, all the UV, all the black lights light up, the monitor comes on, but the game doesn't load, so I think it's a capacitor that I need to replace.
Like a $1,000 capacitor?
Oh, yeah. No. And my friend Dusty's in the chat. He gave me his Sega Master System in like 20 or 25 games. Dusty's awesome.
Awesome.
So, yeah, so he just reminded me. No, but he said he owes me the light, the phaser, so that's pretty sweet. He gave me a Menacer for the Genesis, actually. Dusty's awesome.
Nice.
Yeah, I also got I think my favorite deal I ever got, though, as far as stuff I paid for other than Tron, I got a Sega Genesis four controllers, 65 games, and a Sega Nomad for $100 on eBay.
Wow, was that just like a fluke or what? I guess nobody saw that auction or what?
No clue. It was 2004. Yeah, 2004. No, 2000. It was 2002. I don't know. I lucked out. Most of the games were crap, and they were like EA Sports games. But still, I mean, $100 for those games. A Model 1 Genesis, four controllers, and the Nomad. That was a pretty sweet deal.
Cool.
Yeah, the Nomad is the kicker.
I love the Nomad.
I think the real question is, where is all that stuff now?
The Nomad. I still got the Genesis, the controllers, the Nomad, and I have a local game store that gave me like $4 a pop for like 30 of those games that I never played. So yeah, so I made my money. I made it back. I took it in store credit, but.
But then you can buy stuff you're actually gonna want.
Yeah, I totally did. I think I ended up getting my Xbox 360 wireless adapter and a couple other things.
I'm definitely firmly like now in the rotation where I can't tell you the last time I bought a brand new game. So instead, like I buy like from a used game shop that also does trades. I just get a used game for, I don't know, $35, $40 if it's a really new game. Play it for a while and then trade it in for, you know, $25 or $30 again. So I'm basically like long-term renting games now. I mean, that's like that's how I do games now. I don't know. I can wait the month or so it takes for somebody to buy a game new and then return it to like or trade it into like a used place like that.
I have a hard time buying a semi-new game used. I don't mind like a game that's a couple of years old and getting it for $10. But if I'm going to pay $40 for a game, I'm going to end up just paying $60 for a new copy.
Yeah, I agree. I have one time I've traded in, a whole bunch of games I didn't play for like the longest time. I bought these old crappy Xbox games when I first got the Xbox and I just went mad crazy. There's some games that pretty much suck that I regretted buying, but I traded in all these and then I was able to get, a brand new game for free.
Was it that Drake of the Dragons game?
No, actually it was Gears of War 2.
I've never even played Gears of War 2.
Actually, it was a good deal at that time, but I played it and, I don't know. I didn't really find where all the hype came from, truthfully.
I liked the first one, but by the time part two came out, I was over it.
Yeah.
Was it just more of the same?
I didn't care. It's just like the reason.
The story was just not good.
There's a story?
Right. Yeah, there's a story. It's just you don't care. The first one, okay, I'm done. It's just
I was not compelled to finish the game.
It's like Halo 2. I was ecstatic. I couldn't get enough Halo. Halo 3, I don't care anymore. Yeah.
I was thinking today I actually need to finish Halo 3. I have not finished Halo 3.
I haven't even booted it up.
Really? You own it, but you've not played it?
Actually, my brother owns it. I could go grab it at any time. I just haven't bothered. I mean, it's right there. I mean, I have a Silent Hill. What was that one that came out prior to the newest one?
Dude, I have no idea. They're all Silent Hill as far as I'm concerned.
They're all Silent Hill, like, something, right? They've got a clever little subtitle to it, right?
I think it's Homecoming.
Like 1, 2, 3.
I've got it and, was it Manhunt? Not Manhunt. Condemned 2. I found it for a few years.
Helmet?
Manhunt.
Excellent. Condemned 2. I've got them both still sealed up in their shrink wrap. For a few years now, where I bought them for $5 each, brand new.
I'm usually pretty compelled to finish my games, and the fact that I don't finish a game shows you how much I actually don't care about that.
Now, when you start a game, do you focus on like one game and just plow through it, or are you like juggling between two or three games at any given time?
Currently, I am juggling, but I hate juggling. I do like to power through one game, but except for powering through. For me, is like finishing a game in like 6 months.
I've been working on Legend of Zelda, The Wind Waker, since it came out. I need to finish it. Yeah.
Yeah. It's not, you know, give it to me. I never got to play the full game.
It's a good game.
It is. Really. Yeah. It's
a good game.
I played Ocarina of Time straight through in the matter of 4 days. And, that really killed my, well, that, and I played Soul Calibur 1. for probably 600 or 700 hours, and yeah. that basically killed my ability to sit through and play a game. I just can't do it. Unless it's on the DS or the Game Boy Advance, I can play through the Castlevania games just fine. But that's
so
it.
Are you saying like you just have to like get up and do something else after a while? Like yes. You can't really like.
Yeah, if I can play the game while doing something else, I can finish it. That's why I love the DS.
I played a game this past weekend for 3 hours, and that is the longest that I can remember for playing a game straight for a long, long time by myself. I mean, I'll play with like a group of people for fun, like party games and stuff, but that's different. But if I play by myself, just straight through, 3 hours was probably the longest time.
Hey, buddy, Carnival Games 3 is coming out.
I know.
That's right, like 3 minutes. You can have your spell.
So it's Mario.
Eventually, you have more things. You just feel like you have other things that you should probably be doing.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, you
have adulthood.
You have, like, stuff to do.
Yeah. With, like I say, with my commute and my other job, I'm putting in at least 70 or 75 hours a week, plus the 15, 20, sometimes 25 hours the podcasting stuff takes. Yeah, I just don't have a lot of time for games. Being married, it's like, yeah, I got to spend time with my wife.
I can play my DS all night, but everything else, I might get an hour in, and that's probably it for a while.
Yeah. I've definitely gotten into the mode where, like, about 11 o'clock my time, I can get maybe a half hour of Street Fighter 4 or something like that. Something, like, that's really, like, I guess easy to pick up and put down in like 20 minutes and then that's it. Like, cause my day is like, cause I'm literally at, like out of time. Like I have to go to sleep at some point.
Yeah. It's like Saturday night, my girlfriend's asleep. Let me pop, halfway through this 40. Let me play some Pokemon. Next thing I know, it's 3 o'clock. I need to go to bed.
Yeah.
That's what I used to do. I would just be like pop a beer and just play a game for a while.
I'll be listening to like, Offbeat Cinema or something on Retro TV and I'm just, boop, 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 Hunter Show Plan 9. Doo, 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 doo. Okay, I'm 32 and it's 4 o'clock in the morning.
I have a television and an NES in front of my exercise bike and my Bowflex. I really can't do much on the Bowflex, but I can really just sort of sit there on the exercise bike and game. I really need to do more of that.
That sounds pretty
cool. I've heard of people like running on a treadmill and playing games. I don't think I could do that.
No,
yeah, that is not happening.
I hate treadmills anyway. I need to see like the scenery change. It just doesn't work for me.
I spend a good 20 minutes a day on a treadmill, and no matter what I do, there's not one time where I can hold something in front of my face. And
there's no way.
What's going to happen? Impaired. That's what
I'll look
happen.
Away from like. Straightforward for 2 seconds and I'll already lose my balance.
Yeah, you know, just fly off it.
Yeah,
put a radio on or something.
I'll have that huge head gash and then I'll have to decide whether to eat or not.
I just put the radio on 20 minutes. I cannot imagine how someone can game doing that. It's just like, hmm, tip to B square. Yeah, God, how can it, especially if it's a really involved game. You know, with a lot of thought. I can only imagine a casual game like Sudoku or something working. And, you know, not even that. I can't do that sitting down.
Yeah, all the numbers.
Like, I don't even.
Confused.
Do this. Stupid. Hate this game.
So, anybody else have cheap games or should we. Cheap games or.
XV's into cheap games.
I can't remember the last time I bought one.
Well, XV, do you game at all? You game a little bit.
Yeah, I buy a game like every 18 months or so.
Is it a game that like you can enjoy for 18 months or is that just like...
Well, apparently like, not since my Xbox 360 is set unused for most of the 8 months I've had it.
Nice.
I bought Saints Row 2 with it, which was fun until I finished it.
For people watching on the video, in my left hand, I have my favorite recent purchase on Amazon. Actually, it's labeled $12, but I actually got it for like $7. Dragon Warrior 3 for the Game Boy Color. Sealed, wasn't sealed, but it had all the paperwork and everything in it, and I thought that was a great deal.
That's a great deal.
Yeah, it's got like the power up and get free stuff. Don't tell
me. I really
me,
do I need to get back into video game collecting, primarily because the two systems that I would collect are systems that nobody cares about anymore. Like,
what?
Fairly close to getting, I guess, a respectable percentage of every Atari Lynx game that was made.
Oh yeah, that's pretty sweet.
Which is pretty sweet, yeah. And it's definitely like one where like there's a reasonable number of games made. Like you could reasonably expect to like have a complete collection at some point if you got serious. And then the other one is Neo Geo cartridges. Which have not, changed. Like on eBay, like the value of a Neo Geo cartridge and really a system has not changed in like 5 years.
I take it you have an AES or is it the MVS? Yes.
An AES.
Yeah, so how much did you pay for it?
Well, I bought mine new back when it was...
Holy crap,
know,
dude.
92 or 93, something like that. So it was like $600.
I'm jealous. That's something I've always wanted.
It's pretty sweet. I mean, it's one of the controllers has like a tiny stress fracture by the joystick just from use because, you know, hey, I was like 13 when I got it. But otherwise, it's like pretty rock solid. I mean, it's pretty rock solid hardware.
You can play MVS cartridges on that with like an adapter or something, can't you?
Yeah, you need an adapter, but you can, yeah.
That's pretty awesome. So jealous. So how much are you spending on how much would you spend on say Art of Fighting 3? Doesn't it's kind of expensive, isn't it?
Yeah, I guess the later stuff like that can get pretty expensive because they didn't make a whole lot of cartridges. If it was something I still have like a hard time paying like $200 for a cartridge that I would really want. But that kind of budget will get you most things these days. You know, it's a really like small collector's market. There's not a whole lot of people who seriously collect Neo Geo stuff. There's a lot of people who like say I should think about it or when you bring up Neo Geo, they're like, oh yeah. And they have some nostalgia and some like light interest in getting something, but it's not serious enough to like actually like jump in and start buying
stuff. It's like I don't want to spend $200 for a cartridge with slowdown. Yeah. It's
like, yeah. I do get a kick out of like – I still get a kick out of like how when you fire up a Neo Geo, it brags about how many megabytes it can handle.
Of ROM.
So?
Yeah. It's awesome. Yeah, like the 500 meg cartridges.
What? Why do you got to discriminate like that? Okay, I'm sorry.
Yeah, sorry.
I'm sorry.
I thought it was funny.
Yeah.
Bleebum killed the discussion.
Yes. So. Darn you, Bleebum.
So anyway, on that note, I guess, on that death blow that landed,
now that
like, square
killed
on the
face
show, you sound
I said I was sorry.
We will see you next week. By the way, stop by tfradio.net and look at our fine selection of shows. Just kind of browse and pick and choose. They're all artfully displayed on the front page. RFC, New Soundwave, Superhero Time, starring XV. Outside the Cage, starring two guys you have never met. And RFC Throwback. Featuring some original oldies but goodies.
Yeah, I think on RFC, I'm going to make an excuse to go back and listen to the old shows and do notes for them so that I can do, like, what was going on this week in RFC, like, seven years ago, 10 years ago, just to, like, fill time.
What about that whole batch of, like, 8 or 9 years where we didn't have any?
Yeah, we need to go back and record those.
Just retroactively.
That's what throwback is. It's us pretending pretending that we're filling the gaps at the shows that we didn't do.
Yeah.
True that.
Yeah.
We need to come up with I guess some theme shows too while we're at it, I guess. Why not? Like see what significant things happened in that gap.
That's exactly what we do.
Yeah, you should make one where Rob encounters Shia LaBeouf and begins his hatred for him.
Yeah, or travels back in time and like kills a 5-year-old Shia LaBeouf.
No. It will be on Even Stevens. Hey Shia, when Michael Bay comes to you, what do you say? I say go away. That's right. That's right. Here's your Snickers bar. Here's your Snickers bar, Shia LaBeouf. Oh, in future, also change your last name to something pronounceable, okay?
Okay.
And thank you.
Nice.
Very nice. Okay, so on that semi-creepy note, child abuse.
Then we'll go back in time and meet Michael Bay. I'm not going to hurt him or let him say, hey, Michael Bay, you know you're bludgeoning your big music video directing career? Why don't you stick with that for a while? Movies are bad, man. You don't want to get into that.
Yeah.
Yeah, nobody's going to like a Transformers movie. It's the dumbest idea ever.
Yeah, exactly.
Anyway, for New Soundwave, I am John DeLuna. That was Rob Springer. If he travels back in time and visits the 5-year-old you, just do not listen to him.
Run.
XV.
Run away.
AKKK, Bweebum, and Brian Kennedy. See you next week.
Bye.
Okay.
Later, y'all.
This has been New Soundwave with your hosts, John DeLuna, JD Church, Rob Springer, Chris Triplett, and Brian Kilby. New Soundwave is a Radio Free Cybertron production. Visit us at tfradio.net for show notes and to subscribe to the podcast. Follow us on Twitter at TF Radio for news and updates. Copyright 2010, Radio Free Cybertron.